As if parents don't have enough to worry about these days, there's been a growing trend of kids having their identity stolen. Fortunately, Identity Guard KidSure now makes it easy to help protect your child's identity. KidSure uses patent-pending technology to search and monitor thousands of online data sources for information related to your child. If information is found that could be potentially harmful, you'll be alerted to it quickly. Even better, KidSure costs you less than $5 a month per child when added to your Identity Guard membership. Learn more about KidSure at identityguard.com.
Dear Kelly, we're so proud of the young woman you're becoming. You've been working very hard, and pretty soon, you'll go off to college. And when you do, we'll make you a deal. You keep up the grades, then we'll cover the tuition. Love, Mom and Dad.
When you give the gift of New York life, you give the most selfless gift of all. Whole life insurance gives you the financial protection to help achieve your family's goals, in good times and bad. Contact your New York Life Insurance Company agent or visit us at newyorklife.com.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I'm lucky I can speak because my mouth is still on fire.
Oh, it wasn't that spicy.
Oh, my God. We had dinner at Little Ciro last night, Johnny Moniz's new place. Thai cuisine that was, you describe it, it was awesome.
Well, it's a multi-course meal that's $45 per person. It's one menu. There are no substitutions. And there are no reservations, and it's right underneath Comey. Well, a little next door, not right underneath. There's a dry cleaner. It's right underneath Comey, but it's next door. And it really has this fantastic vibe, and you just have to wait until you're seated. We sat at the bar, and it was just plate after plate of really interesting Thai food. And well, it was so spicy and yummy.
What I liked about it is
because,
you know,
the menu with me.
I'm cheap and easy. I like that the place is very...
Well, you're cheap, that's for sure.
I am cheap. I'm the cheapest guy in town. But the place is very simple, and it's all about the food there. And the food is worth every dime you pay.
Absolutely.
And that is not something I say about most places.
I can't wait to go back. I'm really looking forward to going back.
All right, so why don't we get into the show?
Get into it. All right, you kick it off.
We're done with kissing up to Johnny Moniz.
Okay, yeah.
Let's do it. All right, so if you think you know how to eat ice cream, you should think again, because Susan Cerenko, who's the founder of Marenko Ice Creams, is going to teach us how to taste ice cream.
Right, because I know you probably think you know how to taste ice cream.
I know
cream.
How to put it in my face and swallow it.
And you're very good at that.
Thank you.
I watched you do it last night. So, Okay, and also on the show, I'm so excited. We're going to have some oysters in the show. Will Sexton is here. He is the master shucker at Todd and Ellen Gray's Watershed over in the Noma area.
Lots of plays on those words, don't you think?
Right, there's so
master
many.
Master and shucker. Will, you're in for a treat today,
you're going to have fun.
You'll never forget this experience.
Former NBA player is opening up a new restaurant in Silver Spring.
Yeah, Jason Mascari's here. He's opening up the Society Lounge.
Right.
And he's here. He's going to talk about that. And
I see Bloody Marys in my future. And they look delicious.
Awesome. Perez Klebon is the beverage director and one of the proprietors at Mr. Rain's Funhouse in Baltimore's American Visionary Art Museum. And if you don't know anything about the museum or about Mr. Rain's, I suggest you run, not walk, to your Google.
Well, how about, can we do this a different way?
I'm just saying.
Why don't you just say, Prez, well, step up to the mic.
But it's a cool-looking place. So,
what is the American Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore?
Well, it's almost, one of a kind in the United States, but two of a kind in the world.
Okay.
What they focus on is outsider art, basically untrained artists. So, in a sense, folk artists, if you will, definitely coming from a different scope than you would find with trained artists.
Okay, so it's
finally an outlet for my art.
Yes.
Thank you. Oh.
Thank you, Perez.
Oh,
okay.
Perez.
And what is Mr. Rain's? What is Mr. Rain's Funhouse, and how does it work in relationship with the museum?
Well, we are a contemporary American cuisine restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what we try to do is create a symbiosis and
It's really early in the morning to say symbiosis.
Isn't that like a 30-cent word?
I was looking at that word this morning. It came up on my clock.
SAT word.
Yes. But
smart ass.
What we were looking to do was offer the dining public a unique fare, as unique as a museum offers its artwork.
Okay.
So what we did was we focused on three different things, basically eat, drink, and see. something that I thought that we think is very, very unique to Baltimore and the greater Baltimore, D.C. area.
So what's the food? I mean, give me an example of the food there.
It's regional cuisine. As far as chef's philosophy is that...
And can you say the chef's name?
Chef Baczynski.
Baczynski.
Chef
I
Bill
love
Baczynski,
that.
Yes.
And his wife, right?
And his wife, other partner, Maria Baczynski.
Uh-huh. Yeah, think about it. Mr. Rain's Funhouse with Chef Baczynski. It sounds like a Jeff Bridges movie.
I know. Where, it just sounds like so much fun.
Lebowski and Baczynski.
No robes, though.
You're right.
But basically, his philosophy was to say, what is American cuisine, mm-hmm. if you will? So it's, as a melting pot, as the United States is, his biggest question was always, well, you look at Thanksgiving dinner, what in a Vietnamese home or a Korean home mm-hmm. or a Mexican home, what is on the table? I mean, obviously, there's going to be turkey, but if you're in a
what
Korean...
What are the condiments, right?
Right, what are the condiments?
Kimchi or...
Kimchi next to turkey.
Right.
So basically, that's what we look at and try to play off that melting pot.
I love that. Yeah. Okay, and you're making us a Bloody Mary to start, but you said it's your version. So
it's
tell
our
us what that
version.
Means.
Our version. So we're going to start off with crop cucumber vodka. So we're always going to start, try to make it somewhat healthy. So we got the cucumber
yeah.
vodka.
Okay, wait,
that's so funny.
What is healthy Cody. About cucumber vodka?
Well,
should I put it on my eyes?
Well,
will depuff my eyes for my night out?
Yeah, well,
maybe,
yeah.
possibly.
I want to see you put
that.
This vodka on your eyes, you numbskull.
I haven't tried it myself, but. So we can do cucumber vodka, which actually, this crop is actually organic certified, so we'll start there.
Okay.
Then for our base, for our mix, what we do is we kind of think, go outside the box a little bit. We obviously tomato juice, but also ginger, soy, and instead of, ginger, soy, and lemon
okay.
is what we're going to use.
I'm just thinking how much more ginger and soy my body can take after last night.
I know. So I'm a temple of health all with right. all the ginger and spice that I have.
All right, so why don't you get mixing?
Get started
all right,
on that.
Sounds
and
great.
Let's talk to Will a little. Will, step up to the mic, my
step
boy.
Step up to the mic, Will.
Now, Will was up late, everybody, so.
And he doesn't look it.
No, he looks good.
Early,
he looks good.
See, you're so lucky we don't have the cameras in today.
Now, Will, and I want to ask this question carefully. What is a shucker?
Technically, a shucker is someone that opens oysters. Terms. Oysterman and shucker kind of interchangeable, stem through Louisiana, any kind of Gulf oyster houses. Shuckers generally down there are people that mass shuck huge quantities of oysters for any kind of fried oysters or buckets of oysters that you're going to get served in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys that generally run the raw bars and stand behind down there are referred to as oystermen, but I don't really go for any titles because everyone calls me something different, so I just...
Well, we have our own. We've already developed our own name for you here.
I got a couple for you when the lights go out.
But how did you get into shucking? I mean, when you were a little boy, were you like, oh my God, that's what I want to do when I grow up?
No, it actually just kind of fell into my lap. I recently came up here from Charleston, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I was down there for about 5 years.
Ooh, where were you?
Not a bad place to be.
We love it there, man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite spots in the world.
So were you in a restaurant down there?
So were you working in a restaurant as a chef?
I was down at Coast Bar and Grill, which is right off King Street, and they needed a guy to chuck a lot of oysters, and one of my buddies worked there, and he asked me, and said, yeah, I'll give it a shot, and from then on out, I kind of got thrown into doing thousands of oysters a night.
And
off the bat.
Did it just appeal to you? Was there something about doing shucking
that
is comforting or that you enjoy doing as opposed to...
Do you feel like a mass murderer?
Yeah, you do until you start gouging yourself really bad.
Nah,
and
you're
like, take it.
Little revenge on their part. But I really hated it at first, actually.
Really?
I despised it.
Because because it's tedious? Or
it's
what
extremely
about it?
Tedious
mm-hmm.
when you're doing huge volumes of oysters for hundreds of covers a night.
Right.
But you kind of, after about 10,000, you fall into a really nice rhythm and you really.
It's kind of like running.
Every oyster.
You get that shucker's high.
Stab
so
yourself
your
enough times
like,
and you're just like.
Are your hands like gnarly and muscly from all the.
Shucking.
They would be, but I'm kind of a wimp, so use some nice
lotion. How do you protect yourself? Do you wear those, like, the shark gloves? Or?
No, I brought one so you can see, but I found it's too hard to hold a pen and write my number down to any girl that's impressed by my
skills.
All right, let's
go
to commercial.
Wait, okay. So now you brought in some oysters today. What did you bring us?
I did.
Wait. Forget it. Hold on a minute. So girls come up to you and go, you're such a manly shucker. you know, here's my number.
Really hoping that'll happen in the future.
Oh, it hasn't happened. Yeah.
Well, you should tell Todd and Ellen that they should put you, like, in the center. Do you know what I mean? So that people can watch you.
I think I just heard Todd slap his forehead all the way over here.
I'm banking on them still being asleep.
All right, so what...
Tell us about what you brought in.
I brought a couple of oysters from Vancouver, actually. Because they're the... I find some of the nicest in the world. I have... This little gnarly-looking guy is a Chef's Creek.
Okay.
From southern British Columbia. Mm-hmm. And it's... when I open them, you can tell all the differences. But it's a really nice, medium briny, creamy oyster. It's great for beginners.
Well, that's one of the things we want to talk to you about. I mean, there are so many oysters available. And I assume as your role of Master of Shucker, I mean, you have to really educate yourself about all the varieties available.
Yeah.
And how do you go about doing that?
You eat a lot of them, which is, it's easy for me.
You must be very horny then, right?
Are you allowed to say that on air?
Sure, yeah, I am. Okay. It's an aphrodisiac, yes, right?
They say it is. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Sell it.
Yes, they are.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, that's 200 right. reservations at Watershed. Boom. Just canceled because you...
Right. So which one are you going to open for us first to try?
I'm going
to
do the Chef's Creek. Okay. Because it's going to go really well with the Bloody Mary.
All right, great.
It's got this medium, perfect, nice brininess and a nice creaminess.
So are they small? I mean, what are we going to look at?
They're boutique oysters. They're quintessential cocktail oysters.
Okay.
Small, little 1.5 to 2 inch meat.
Mm-hmm.
And just a nice little guy inside.
All right, well, we're going to let you do that. And before we dig into an oyster...
We're going to talk ice cream.
We're going to talk ice cream, which could be an aphrodisiac.
Right. Susan, first That's question. True.
Yes.
Your last name is Soranko.
Yes.
The name of the ice cream company is Moranko. We had a bet. Nikki, is it like Moo?
Yeah.
Like Moranko? Like
right.
So that's it?
Well, there is a story.
All right, well,
What's
let's hear
story?
It.
Okay, so the story is that we were trying to come up with a name for the company that we could trademark.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a lot of ice cream out there. It can't be anything with Scoop or Cow.
Or Ben and Jerry's.
Or, can be neither Ben nor Jerry.
Fred and Irving's.
Right. And so my whole family was, like, putting their heads together to try to come up with a name that was evocative and but also trademark worthy. And we had a big family dinner one night, and my niece, who was 9 at the time, said, "Oh, Aunt Susan, why don't you just be done with it and call it Moranko's?" And her last name is Soranko also. And we just laughed. We thought it was the most ridiculous thing we'd ever heard. And then I thought, well, really, who's going to want that name except the people sitting at this table, and I can control all of them. So we thought, okay, let's give that a shot. We took it to, you know, the trademark people we were working with. They went nuts because they had the same response we did. There's probably nobody out there who wants that name. And so that's how we got it.
But, well, let's back up. How did you get into ice cream making? I mean, this isn't an old family business. This is something you started.
Right. No, I was a fitness trainer before.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I know.
Boy, you went over to the dark side.
Exactly. And I will tell you,
Luke, I am your father.
I've explained this a million times. It's far easier to sell people ice cream than it is to sell them
health.
Fitness.
The hell with it. Die.
And my sons and I had gone on vacation, and we had some really lovely ice cream where we had gone on vacation, which I won't talk about. And they said to me, "Oh, Mom, you should figure out how to bring this back to Northern Virginia." And to this day, it's now about 12 years since that happened, they will insist that they meant a quart.
They didn't mean for you to start your own business.
I misunderstood. I miscalculated.
Give Mom an inch. She takes a mile.
She gets some big equipment.
So then what did you do? I mean, how did you get into ice cream making?
I went to ice cream school.
You went to ice cream school?
Yeah.
Is there an ice cream school?
Is there a university?
There's an ice cream university.
Where is that?
It's in New York.
Do you have a basketball team? Because
we have a basketball player.
They move really slowly, right here, man. They move a little slowly, but they're excellent with big equipment, big pieces of machinery.
Okay. All right. We have to take a quick break. But when we get back, I want to hear what you learned at Ice Cream University and what you're doing to your ice creams. And then
before we go to commercial, this is a yes or no thing. Is everybody at Ice Cream University, except for you, fat? Because you're tiny. Yeah.
No.
Really?
No, okay. It's just you.
This is
Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be back in just a sec.
The community tables at Founding Farmers DC are perfect for holiday gatherings to celebrate with friends, family, colleagues, and acquaintances over a delicious meal. Our community tables seat up to 10 guests, and our amazing menus and award-winning cocktail program will make anyone feel welcome. Located in the heart of Foggy Bottom at 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Founding Farmers is ready to help make your holidays more festive, relaxing, and enjoyable with delicious, true food and drink. We're open Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. Details and reservations are available online at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. March for Babies! Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few. The proud. The Marines.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we've got Susan Sorenko, who is the founder and chief ice cream maker of Morenko Ice Creams.
How do you think ice cream and Bloody Marys go together? Can we make that work?
Yeah, Perez Kleban just gave us Bloody Marys, too. But let's talk about ice cream you.
Oh, Ice Cream University is one of the places where you go to make ice cream. It's in New York.
How did you find it?
I don't remember. Oh. It just kind of showed up. I think I was looking at going to take the course at Penn State, which is where most people go, and it wasn't...
Not anymore.
Oh, David. Go ahead.
Oh, right. Okay. And...
I hope my father's not listening. At Penn State.
And the course wasn't being given at the time that I needed it, so I started looking for other options, and Ice Cream University showed up. It's run by a wonderful man named Malcolm Stogo, who is, has been my mentor now for a long time. And they basically teach you how to work with the equipment that you need to make artisanal ice cream.
Well, because I was going to say, I mean, David and I were talking about it. He was like, I mean, what's... really in ice cream? I mean, we got cream, sugar,
milk. Egg yolk, sugar.
Right. So what is it, what were you looking to produce in your ice cream?
I wanted to make a really outrageous ultra premium, which is a specific grade of ice cream with as natural a collection of ingredients as is possible, given, you know, what has to happen chemically with the product.
Okay, so what does premium mean?
Ice cream has to have, in the United States, ice cream has to have at least 10% milk fat to qualify to be called ice cream. Between 10 and 12% milk fat is your traditional ice cream. 12 to 14% milk fat is considered premium, is graded premium. Between 14 and 16 is super premium, and that's where the two biggest names fall. And then anything over 16% milk fat is considered ultra premium.
Okay.
So if you...
But is ultra premium, just because there's so much fat in it, does that make
it
better?
What does that do for the ice cream?
No, I mean, it doesn't necessarily make it better.
Okay.
It makes it...
thicker?
Richer and creamier, but there are a number of other elements and a number of other factors that determine the quality of the ice cream. So ultra premium really just refers to the amount of milk fat in the product, and that's an actual USDA designation.
Okay, and then what did you want to do? I mean, once you started going to school and you were like, this is, did you just play until you found the exact recipe that worked for you?
Well, I kind of knew what I wanted to create. I wanted to create an ice cream with a long finish. I wanted a long finish, meaning you put it in your mouth and you taste it even after you swallow it.
Let's try that.
Let's talk about how to do that.
Okay.
So first you put the vanilla on your spoon.
Now, why do you start with vanilla?
Because it's the least, I want to say the least complicated, but that's not really true. It's okay. Sort of the, it's got the least amount of things added to it. So the first thing I do is I smell it. Just like with wine or...
Oh, but I mean, you can really smell the vanilla.
Yeah.
And it's a delicate bouquet.
Don't be a jerk.
And for my taste, I prefer that there not be any hint of vegetable or floral or coconut, okay? Then you put it in your mouth, and Nikki just swallowed it without doing what I was going to ask her to do.
Okay, sorry, I can always take more. Okay.
Okay, so the first thing you should taste when you taste ice cream is the flavor that you ordered.
Okay.
In other words, if you ordered vanilla, the first hit you should get right at the front is vanilla.
Right.
The second thing you should notice is the dairy. You get the creaminess.
You get the creaminess, right.
Hit. The third hit is the sweetness. So if it leads with sweet, I generally won't
Does that mean it's too much sugar?
Yeah, it's got a lot of sugar, and the sugar is usually compensating for
something suck you in with the sugar.
Right?
Okay.
And then the fourth thing is that it's cold. Then the question is, how long does the flavor last? And sometimes you'll notice as you're eating other ice creams, not Marenko's ice cream, but other ice creams, after maybe the third or fourth spoonful, you taste sweet, you taste cold, and the taste is gone.
Well, is that what the extra milk fat helps it do? Does it help
just
it linger?
It's the egg yolk.
Oh, really?
Because you know, the one thing, and this is
delicious.
I always have a problem, particularly with vanilla ice cream, is when there are chunks of little, like shards of vanilla bean in there. You know,
vanilla bean?
Not
like
vanilla
the little specks, you mean?
That they'll have that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like it's gritty?
Yeah. But
that's not the vanilla bean.
What is it?
Something else, right?
Well, it could be the vanilla bean. And let me just say that the vanilla bean, for the most part, is perception.
Okay.
It's really about the quality of the vanilla that you use, and the bean is kind of extra.
Really?
Well, let's talk about the ingredients that you are using. How do you go about sourcing, you know, your dairy products, your eggs, and, you know, you have all these flavors that you brought in today. How do you find the products that you want?
I spent a lot of time on the phone, on the computer, and comparing things. And the dairy comes from small farms, either in Maryland or Pennsylvania, small family-owned farms. The components, the recipe for the mix that goes into each ice cream is proprietary. So the creamery's
door's locked. So.
Okay, then. The creamers that I use, that they're kind of sworn to secrecy in terms of my recipe.
Okay.
So it's consistent, and it's, you know, it's made by professionals, so I'm not making it in my
factory. You're not making a bathtub in your house like that.
I don't.
And how did you come up with your flavor profiles? Because you do have some very interesting flavors.
We really should try some others, don't
you? Yes,
you
should. I just wanted to make sure that you understood how to taste the ice cream. And you want to move on to coconut almond?
I'm thinking chocolate.
You want to go straight to chocolate?
Straight to chocolate.
All right, I did line these up in terms of...
No. We'll follow your lead.
All right,
you are the ice cream master here.
Let's go to coconut almond.
Okay.
All right.
Nicole.
What was the question? How do I come up with my flavors?
Yes.
Sometimes I have dreams about them. Sometimes customers recommend them. And sometimes what I'm trying to do is just throw a little twist onto something that you already know.
This is very
yummy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Really yummy.
Thank you. We use a lot of coconut milk in that, as opposed to coconut base, which has a lot of chemicals in it.
Okay.
So that's one of the flavors that's very popular at Whole Foods because it's an all-natural flavor.
Sure. But the almonds, it's not like there's big chunks of almonds in there.
Just slivered almonds, and we toast them. We toast
really
them in
nice.
Our kitchen.
Okay.
Where's your factory or kitchen or what would you call it?
The Marenko's... Elfdom is in Silver Spring. We have a factory in Silver Spring. And then our shop is also in Silver Spring.
Right.
About a mile down the road
on Georgia. You should talk to Jason because he's opening up the Social Lounge in
Silver Spring.
Where
Nicaro was.
Did you?
Oh, I know where that is. Well, Jason will be getting a call shortly.
Oh, right. Jason.
Well, and I see your ice creams at Whole Foods, Chevy Chase Market.
Right.
And are you at farmers markets at all?
We used to do farmers markets, but I don't really have the manpower to do that. If there's anybody out there who's enterprising enough to want to sell my ice cream at a farmers market, please give me a call.
Give her a call.
But we're just in a lot of places, and come the weekend, I'm doing appearances at Whole Foods, appearances at Giant, and I don't have the capacity yet to be in more than one place at one time.
Totally get that.
So that's why we're not at
Farmers Market. That's very Star Trek. All right, we've got about 2 minutes left, so
okay.
I want to make sure. How do people find you online?
www.marengos.com.
Okay. And they can come to the store in Silver Spring.
They can come
get
to the
address.
Store.
Which one is that?
The store is, this is Honey Lavender.
Oh, I really
Yummy.
Like it.
The store is at 8030 Georgia Avenue, right next to the original Chris Field.
Oh, okay.
Just at the DC line.
Well, let me ask you a question. Because here you are and you're making premium. The name that I grew up with was Giffords. And the name was sold lots of times and eventually sort of sold and leveraged out of business. How hard is it to maintain? Well, for example, in the winter.
What's the question? Ask the question.
I'm getting to it. I mean, they went out of business because they couldn't maintain the quality. So the question is, how rigidly do you have to watch everything to make sure that every quart of Marengo ice cream that goes out the door is, you know, exactly what you want it to be?
Well, we have delicious. The advantage of making it on site. We're making it ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I'm like 2 seconds from, that's the salted caramel. With
salted caramels. Every time I have one, I'm like, oh, this is my favorite. And I'm like, oh my God, no, this one's my favorite.
So I'm like 6 feet from the kitchen.
Okay. Mm.
So, I'm in the kitchen all the time. My production manager, Nick, is terrific at observing and making sure there's no recipe drift, as mm-hmm. we call it.
And that's really what I was asking, because a lot of people get successful and then quality control starts to ebb.
Right.
Well, these were terrific. And it's a really fascinating story how you got into it and how you're doing it. So how many flavors total do you have?
We have about 30 that we put in pints that are sold at Whole Foods, Giants, Chevy Chase Market. We're in all of the Mom's Organic markets and pretty much every independent supermarket in the area.
That's great.
And then we have a gazillion more that we sell in the shop, and frequently we make it up. Sometimes our customers come into the factory and work with me in the kitchen and make their own flavor. And
how much fun!
I know.
That's awesome.
It's a great little birthday party thing.
Oh, so good to know. Like good. Kid birthday party?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good to know.
Is that five birthdays I'm doing?
No. Three. I got three. They're older already. The two young ones. So.
Here we go. Okay. What am I trying
Fresh
now?
Ginger.
Okay, I'm going to taste the ginger, and then we're going to go to our oysters.
Whoa.
Can we put some ginger on our oysters? What do you think? That might work, right?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Will?
David's reaching for the chocolate.
It's okay.
What about a little ginger with the oyster? Do you think we can make that work?
Cream and oysters?
Yeah. Cream? I guess no cream, huh?
No.
No cream with oysters doesn't work?
Okay, I liked all of them, but the Marengo's chocolate.
No, ginger is my favorite.
Chocolate.
Ginger was great.
Home
all right.
Run.
Have we shucked?
Yeah.
All right. So tell us what we're going to be digging into and the flavors we're going to be looking for.
All right. These first ones we're doing are the Chef's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to become really popular, mostly
What
because,
does that mean? Why?
I'm not really sure why,
actually,
to tell you the truth. I think it's mostly because they're called Chef's Creek, so a lot of second-rate cooks are like, oh, let's get these.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a really nice oyster for beginners. They're kind of in the middle of the road with the creaminess and brininess, and they play really, really well off each other. They have a really nice, clean, saline finish to them that you don't have any lingering kind of feelings in your mouth
or
any kind of astringent taste that you get with a lot of the funkier oysters out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's easy for, because there are some people, we happen to love oysters, but I think introducing people to oysters can be really tough.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult.
And
it's the hardest part of my job.
Is it?
It's trying to convince someone who's never had an oyster before to just
try one. So what
do?
Do you just down it in sauce or something? Like, here, just swallow it. Don't worry. The first one, once you get it over with the first time, it's okay.
Just pretend you're eating an eyeball.
Right. How do you sell it?
That combined with my charm and wit usually helps.
Well, which is all in evidence this morning, so we're in good shape.
I keep oysters such as this one or Kumamoto's, which are really popular. For beginner people,
beginners
and connoisseurs alike, they're a tradition. They were a Japanese oyster, and then they brought them over to California, and that's where they harvest them all now.
Whoa.
But you want something that's really easy to eat, that's small, that goes well with whatever they're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want anything that's too overpoweringly creamy or anything that tastes like seaweed or anything like that. Like I kind
of. But you are looking for a little brine, right? Like you want it to taste like ocean water.
Yeah, but a lot of the big, huge, creamy oysters really freak people out a lot of times if they don't have much experience eating oysters.
All right, well, let's get an experience.
I make them look really pretty. Okay. That helps, too.
Okay, cool.
We're going to have to take a break.
We're going to take a break,
so,
when we come back.
Perez has made this
gorgeous
knockout Bloody Mary.
But I have to ask, Perez, what is this, a pickle? What is this?
These are our house cured pickles.
They're delicious.
Yeah, and that's one of the highlights of our cocktails here.
And there's the spice is perfect.
No, sweet pickles.
No, but the spice of the drink is awesome.
Right,
really
we use
good.
A lot of different botanicals when we actually cure the pickles.
Okay.
Bring out that sweetness.
All right, well, when we come back, yum. I see you starting on something over there.
Starting the next round, yes.
Okay, so we're going to find out what you're up to. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We have just polished off some ice cream. We're going to be digging into an oyster. And I see something delicious also down the pike.
We should be sponsored by Tums.
We'll be back in just a sec.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Hello, this is Peter Bergman. Please join the Salvation Army and Bergman's Cleaning for the 20th annual Share the Warmth Coats for Kids in the Needy Drive. If you have one or more cold weather coats that you can spare, please donate them for this worthy cause by calling Bergman's. Bergman's will refresh and clean and deliver them to the Salvation Army for distribution to the needy of the Washington metro area. Thanks to you, over 490,000 coats have been collected in the past 19 years. Please make this year's a success by calling Bergman's at 703-247-7600. Thank you.
This holiday season, give the gift that money can't buy. When you donate blood with the American Red Cross, you give the perfect gift. Another hug, another laugh, another smile, another chance to someone in need of blood. And unlike the latest fashion trend, video game, or golf club, the perfect gift costs nothing but an hour of your time. Visit redcrossblood.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to schedule an appointment today. Give the gift of life and help unwrap a lifetime of memories for patients in need.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today. Or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast, and we're staring down the center of an amazing, amazing Bloody Mary.
Yes, we are.
And Will, have you
shucked?
Have you shucked?
Yeah, we're good.
Shucked, right. And he's passing him out.
Let's give it a try.
Great.
And we've just been joined in the studio by Jason Miscarry, who is the proprietor of the new social lounge. It's about to open, right? When does it open?
It's going to open first week of January.
All right, cool. We're going to get into your restaurant in just a sec.
Slug these down.
Can I get you in front of that mic?
Absolutely.
Mm. Okay, so tell us about what you're making, and then I'd like to hear a little bit about the drink program at Mr. Rain's.
Okay, so the next cocktail is coming up is called Black Pearls. This is kind of a festive drink, particularly moving into the New Year's season.
Mm-hmm.
This is a combination of soju, which is a distilled rice spirit,
mm-hmm.
Yuzu juice, which is a Japanese citrus,
mm-hmm.
Black sugar syrup, and then finally sparkling sake. So we try to keep all the Japanese.
So really simple.
Not
difficult.
Not difficult, but hopefully the flavor profile on the complex is a little more complex than the ingredients.
Let me ask you a question. Direct question.
Yes, please.
Are cocktails getting too fancy?
No.
I don't think so. I think right now it's more of the renaissance of anything else, and I think a lot of new chefs or new bartenders are coming in are taking it with the same idea as a chef would in your kitchen. So.
Well, I agree with you. We talked about this last night because you brought up this question.
Yes, we had a burning conversation.
We did. And my whole point to him was that there's such a commitment now to better quality ingredients.
Right.
You know, whether you're sourcing your vodka or, you know, staying local or making your own bitters. And I think it shows in the cocktails. Right. You know, there's not these juicy, syrupy, like, high-calorie cocktails.
There are some places where you go where there are, like, 9 ingredients in the cocktail and it takes the bartender, you know, 15 minutes to prepare
right.
it.
But
and
it's worth the wait.
That's definitely worth the wait. And, again, depending, I think a lot of it, again, there's different, I guess, different sects of... cocktail making, and it depends on what your philosophy is. If you were looking at more of a classically inspired drink, I mean, again, you can be down to 4 ingredients. And then there's some bartenders, mixologists out there that are doing more of the molecular item there. So you're seeing it's a little bit more incorporated into it. But I think it's about the mixologist finding where and what path they want to go into.
Okay.
And plus, I guess the clientele sort of dictates.
The clientele also dictates, absolutely. That
happens
quite a bit.
Well, don't you think more and more people these days are looking for a great place for a good cocktail?
I think so. I think people are taking drinks a little bit more seriously.
I agree.
As far as, you know, the wine, as wine has gone over the past 20 years, as
and
far
now
as beer has gone.
Right.
Right. So cocktails is the next thing up. And I think all encompassing, the thing that I look forward to in the future is actually encompassing all three of those aspects and actually looking for various different avenues to incorporate beer, not only just spirits, but beer and wine into drinks.
Cool.
All right. Well, let me flip over to Will for one quick second.
That was like tasting the ocean.
They were very salty.
I loved
that. I mean, in other words, obviously the water that the oyster lives in sort of dictates a lot of, you know, how the oyster grows and what it is. But that was really good. It was like you didn't need to add anything because it comes in the oyster. Is that typically how those oysters are?
Yeah. And it depends month by month with, like, so temperature and salinity in the water. Depends on when they were harvested. All oysters are grown in brackish water, so most of them are grown in inlets. And they
brackish does not sound good, though.
No, like, that just means salty.
I know what it's supposed to be, but like brackish has like
salty.
A bad.
Forgive her, Will. She doesn't know anything.
I know what it means. I just, you know.
But even when, depending on the tides coming in, they found can affect the salinity of the oyster in the out. Like,
really?
If it's getting a fresh water flush through, they circulate an ungodly amount of water through themselves. Like, it's like something like 300 gallons.
So does each given a time of the day when you should harvest the oyster?
Yeah, can affect it. And a lot of places will put them in freshwater baths when they're waiting to ship them, and that'll take out a lot of salinity.
But you don't want that. Like, this really, to me, that tasted like it was right out of the ocean.
There are some oysters that it really, really helps bring out the flavors that are in really, really saline water, and you don't get a lot of, like, these fruity elements to the finish that some of the more delicate oysters get. Like, Kumamoto's, they'll put in a freshwater bath.
Okay.
And you get this really melony, light finish to them. And when they don't, some of the ones from around San Quentin don't do that. And it's just super, super salty little...
Like a
oyster,
salt lick?
Guys. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into
Now we're
going to
switch. Jason Miscari, we got to ask you about
your past
and your path. Because you were with the NBA Hornets for a period of time. And now you're cooking up ribs that look so good.
Yeah, those are guava barbecue ribs.
Oh, my goodness.
I better try one right away.
I think
away.
You better. But you should talk.
You should talk
and they'll eat.
I'll stuff my face.
Well, basketball was my first love.
Okay.
And I was fortunate to grow up in a household with my stepdad, who is a great cook. He's from Bowling Green, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, who's from Guyana, the Caribbean.
Okay.
My sisters, my brother, everyone can cook.
Excellent.
And we brought the...
Let me just jump in to say I've had three bites. You can cook, too.
Yeah, I mean, I love to cook. And at a young age, I had to fend for myself. So I watched my mom, I watched my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I incorporated the American fares coupled with Caribbean accents.
So, but where in your path were you like, okay, I did basketball, and now I want to open a restaurant? Those don't go hand in hand to me, so I'd like to know how you got there.
Well, I want to be a brain surgeon next.
Well,
good luck with that.
I mean, in all actuality, I would say we were the first people to introduce this type of food into Como Park in the 80s.
Okay.
Steve Francis, the Como Park natives, they all came there and ate because we were very inviting.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of parties and functions, and they tasted our food, and they loved it. So I opened the first restaurant, actually, it was in Laws, called Island Flavors.
Right.
And
that is Caribbean-based?
That's just pure Caribbean-based.
Caribbean-based.
Yes.
And are you cooking there as well? Were you cooking there?
At times, my sisters are the ones that really
listening to
this.
Shout
out to the sisters.
Hey, man.
Okay.
She actually prepared that.
Oh.
You could be my sister.
You're right.
This is delicious.
So go ahead. So you started with that restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And when did that restaurant open?
5 years ago in February, April.
Okay. And
this April will be 5 years.
You know, I don't think a lot of people know what Caribbean cuisine really is.
Well
we do because we've been there.
Yeah, but I mean, it varies on island. I mean,
yes, it's very yes. It varies on different islands. Yes, it's very. But Caribbean, if you think about Caribbean, you think about flavor. Mm-hmm. You think about spice.
Spice.
Yeah, but you know, I wanted to have your traditional crab cakes. I wanted to have your one of the signature dishes that we're going to do at Society is going to be a rotisserie jerk chicken, which has never been done. And you think about the tenderness that you can get from, you know, rotisserie a chicken itself. And the flavor that comes from jerk that's marinated for 24 hours. It's going to be very tasty.
Well, let's talk about your new restaurant. What were you trying? What, the Society Lounge?
Uh-huh.
What are you looking to do there? I mean, as you get closer to opening, what can people look to? It's in the former Nicaro space, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But it looks nothing like it before.
It looks nothing like it.
No. I have two wonderful designers. And I had a part of it too. But the bar is extended. It's 42 feet long now.
Okay.
We have a fireplace. Like if you're familiar with Oya, it's the same type of fireplace. I have a private room in the back, and in the spring we're going to do a rooftop.
Fun!
Yes,
it's valet parking. And summer screen is really exploding.
Exactly, it's exploding. I mean, tons of condos and luxury apartments are coming up. And then not only that, you talk about. Silver Spring is very diverse, and that's why I use the name Society. But a lot of times, these people have to go all the way to D.C., they have to go to Bethesda to enjoy themselves.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel like I'm filling a void, then, you know, these people in their own backyard, and someone can walk right across the street to Society. If not, we have the luxury of valet parking. They park their car for them, and they can come.
Probably could have used valet parking last night. Oh, my God. We drove around for a half hour.
Yeah, well, they can enjoy themselves and being around professional friends, conscious social people, just gathering, like Zentinius, you know, similar to that, you know.
So is it a small plate menu? Because these are not small plates.
Yeah,
let's talk the menu.
But it's not really small plates. Some of the features items is, like I said, rotisserie, jerk chicken, guava barbecue ribs.
Right.
I have red snapper with crab meat. Mm-hmm. That's going to have a curry coconut base.
Oh my God!
On the outside,
good.
And
so,
how
did you come up with this menu? Have you just been playing?
Honestly, I've been playing. I have a team, so to speak.
Okay.
I have a few people that's been helping me, and my sisters. They've been experimenting with different things as well, and collectively with a few chefs, we came up with this solid menu that. We think this is going to be very nice and popular.
But you haven't gone to cooking school.
Never.
Not that matters.
No, it doesn't.
But
no, at all. Some of the best cuts.
Right.
Exactly. But, I mean, I know flavor. I know taste. I'm a foodie guy. You know? I eat at various restaurants all the time, and I love food.
How come you're skinny?
Because
I'm athletic. I work out every day.
Oh, exactly.
At least 5 to 6
Did you hear that?
Let me,
I want to break down that sentence. He
Let me tell
works
you, I have never
out.
Ever seen a rim that I've touched. Let's put it that way. I'm a 3-point guy because I can't even get near the rim. Are you going to give me crap on the radio?
No, not about that. I could care less.
Better not.
But I think being a chef, like I'm a foodie, and I love to cook, and I'm a pretty good cook. But for me,
not necessarily.
Okay. Yeah. I'll remember that tomorrow night. I'll make a dinner.
That's crab rice.
To me, my fear would be in a restaurant is handling the amount of, like, buying correctly, handling all the people coming in. Like, how do you make that jump from a great home cook to a great restaurant chef?
Honestly,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, it's definitely going to be it's different from island flavors, and I understand what you're saying. You have to have food control and all those things. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate to have a great chef. His name is Alberto.
Okay.
And he's very good in the kitchen. He's able to. He knows how to get food out on time. He has been doing it for over 20 years.
Okay. So he knows how to order. He knows how to do
it. He knows all
that
stuff.
You've surrounded yourself with the right people.
Yes. Abba, of course.
Right.
This is my PR lady.
Where is she? She brought her kids. I want to see them.
They're out there.
She's out there. But, I'm not by no means doing this by myself.
Okay.
I'm just kind of spearheading the whole
thing. Especially not if your sister's listening.
But I have people around me that have experience in the restaurant business, and collectively we actually had a meeting the other day, and we're just kind of putting things together where we want Society to be like.
Excellent. Well, all right, we have to take a quick break.
Wait one second.
What is that?
10 seconds on this chicken, which has a real kick.
No, that's I'm sorry about the kick today.
No, please. But are you kidding?
That's not chicken. That is actually jerk prawns.
You're kidding?
Yeah, soaked in pineapples and mango.
It's got
garnished with.
It's got a chicken
peppers.
Look and a chicken consistency.
Exactly.
Love that one. Whoa, it's good.
Yeah, and that's jasmine carrot rice that you're eating with it right there.
All right, I'm gonna let him finish eating. We are gonna take a quick break, but when we come back, we're gonna have another oyster. We're gonna talk a little bit more about Society Lounge, and I see gorgeous glasses at the other end
oh my
of
God,
the
this
table
is really
and
good.
Bitters, lots
I need
of bitters.
A cocktail too.
Okay, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
The community tables at Founding Farmers DC are perfect for holiday gatherings to celebrate with friends, family, colleagues, and acquaintances over a delicious meal. Our community tables seat up to 10 guests, and our amazing menus and award-winning cocktail program will make anyone feel welcome. Located in the heart of Foggy Bottom at 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Founding Farmers is ready to help make your holidays more festive, relaxing, and enjoyable with delicious, true food and drink. We're open Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. Details and reservations are available online at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
It is one of our most sophisticated drones, and Iran claims that it was hijacked using a flaw in the GPS guidance system. They got the drone to think that it was in Afghanistan when it was actually still in Iran, and so the drone landed at its home base, thinking it was home base, right. But actually it was in Iran.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast. We're going to get back to Jason Miskiri in 1 second. I just want to thank the people that support the show. And if you're hearing this and you're not currently one of our advertisers, I want you to feel really bad about it. Georgetown Bagelry, greatest bagels in town, neighborhood restaurant group. That's Rustico Evening Star, Tallulah Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Birch and Barley, Columbia Firehouse, Founding Farmers, and the new Founding Farmers out in Potomac. Modus Hospitality, Noti Bianchi, Dish, and Circle Bistro, three great restaurants. Our friends at Charles Schwartz and Son, our friends at the Bethesda Central Farm Market, and our new friends at Carmine's, downtown on 7th
Street.
Right. That's right, Carmine's.
Actually, we should say that we are doing...
No, you can't.
I can't
secret.
Say it.
Oh, no, it's a secret.
Aww.
Oh, we got a big announcement to make in about 2 weeks.
Oh, I didn't know it was
but it's big. Really
okay.
Big. Bigger than big. All right, Jason, back to you. So I walk in the front door at Society. What's going to happen?
Right.
Okay, when you walk in, to your right, it's going to be a really nice chandelier over the hostess stand.
Mm-hmm.
Coat closet where you can leave your coats and hang it up. Mm-hmm. Very soft fabric. Metallic paint on the ceilings. Very nice wallpaper that pops out at you. To your left is the 42-foot bar. Feet bar with the lights up underneath, 350-inch TVs behind, granite countertop.
So it's a place to come
so it's
and
a place
hang
to hang out.
Out.
Exactly.
That's
a place to hang out. Yes, you
okay.
can you can lounge to the left, mm-hmm. and you can dine on the right. You have a private room to the back if, for whatever case.
Is the bar menu different than the restaurant? Or?
Slightly. I mean, more like a lunch menu at the bar menu.
Got it.
But you can.
I just have to say David Hagedorn, who was our guest host
last week.
Just tweet, texted and said, shrimp that tastes like chicken?
I have a message for David, a secret message that only David Hagedorn should hear. And I'm saying it right now in my mind.
Okay. Well, so when can people look to open the doors of Society Lounge? Do you think it'll be open before the first of the year?
Probably not, because of the holidays coming up, and to get inspectors and everything out there is going to be tough. But we're just doing some finishing touches, and we should be ready to go in the first week of
summer. We'll really look forward to coming in and seeing what you're doing. Thank you so much for bringing all this great food today.
Have you got a website up yet?
Yes. It hasn't been launched. It'll be launched in the next few days.
Okay. And sociallounge.com?
No, Society SS. Silver Spring. This is, you know, for people. I'm so glad that you guys had me on as well.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it.
These ribs are...
They're so good.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
All right. Well... You just handed me this, gorgeous specimen of an oyster. What is it?
These are Stellar Bays.
Okay.
They're northern British Columbia. And I pretty much, these are some of the nicest oysters in the world.
Oh, my God. They're delicious.
Yeah.
Can I ask a stupid question, though?
Yeah.
When it comes to oysters, you know, sometimes you have an oyster, and it's so clean. It's almost like it's been washed.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes, there's no grit, there's no nothing. And then sometimes you get one, and it's gritty, and it just doesn't taste as good. What do you do as a shucker to ensure that people don't get any grit? Or is that the cleaning process?
No, you just have to be really good at it.
You have to hire me.
I have a confidence problem.
Some oysters do break apart a lot easier, and it's really, there's nothing you can do about it besides throw it out. And you don't want to wash the oyster off if it's got grit, because you're going to wash away all the liquor, which is where most of the flavor comes from. But
this was an oyster that tasted like a Big Mac, David.
This one was really creamy.
I'm keeping around. We're doing that the Boyd and Blair Happy Hour. Mm-hmm. We're featuring Boyd and Blair Vodka
in
Pittsburgh. It's this really nice artisanal vodka. And these go really well with the two featured cocktails that we're doing for them right now.
Okay.
One of them's got lavender bitters and horseradish, some sour and ginger syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And it really complements the nice, creamy, big meats of these oysters.
Yeah, it's super creamy.
Yeah, but you still get that nice saline bite, and if you get the aftertaste at all, a lot of people have a really melony, almost like a honeydew finish to it.
I don't know. I may have to have another one to really feel that.
There's a couple left.
What a snorer. David, I know you know what that means. All right. I've got a question. I want to go back to Perez while we're talking about the oysters, because, you know, you're putting a lot of things together here, all of which have really... to my mind, match with these oysters. So was that on purpose, or did we just get lucky?
Yeah, well, we planned it before the show. And
did you guys meet together last night?
They were hey, I don't know you, but are you going on Foodie in the
Well, that's one thing that we do with our beverage program is we really try to make it pair with the food.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important. That's what I think differs our beverage program than some other beverage programs that are just strictly doing cocktails.
Right.
What we try to do is take the foresight to look at how we create the drinks, to look at the chef's menu to make sure that they are always going to go together. The last cocktail you had yuzu juice and the sparkling sake, which is going to add acidity and brightness. And I think that last oyster and that drink
brought it out.
It was perfect.
And I have to be honest with you, this drink that you served really goes beautifully with the ribs, too, because of the sweetness of the guava.
Right.
It just accents it.
That went best with the ribs was my face.
And the workout part, which was at the end.
Shut up.
I'm sorry. Now, you have lots of little, gorgeous apothecary bottles over there.
Right.
Can you tell me what's in them?
Yeah, I have a couple of things here. This first one here is our... a vanilla tincture. It's a house-made vanilla tincture, basically an extract of vanilla that we house-make. So we take vanilla, and then we roast it, and then we steep it in a high-proof spirit for up to 2 weeks.
So, grain alcohol?
Grain alcohol or high-proof vodka. That works just the same. It's a neutral spirit, so you can do that. This here is orange bitters. This is absinthe. It's planted on a flambé and something, but... and then also, I have Peychaud here, which is, you know,